speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Fee.
A few reminders, and I believe it was in the bulletin, a few reminders from Simon Peter. We're going to be looking at Simon Peter's message in 2 Peter chapter 1 and seeing some things that God gives us that He wants to remind us of. You know, when we think in regard to reminders, I believe that we find that they're necessary in life. I am forever, as I'm getting older, forgetting first one thing and then another. And I trust that by what some have shared with me is that I'm not alone. Seems like that whenever we were kids, we could remember just about anything. And we could remember things for many years in the future, even after they had taken place. But the older I get, not only am I forgetting my past, but I'm even forgetting things that I've got to do today or things that I've got to do tomorrow. And with that, I'm forever and a day, if you would, telling Dawn, especially whenever we lay our heads down at night, something will be on my mind, and I will say to Dawn, remind me about this in the morning. And a few years ago, Dawn was very good about saying, okay, and she would be able to remind me the next morning about what it is that I had said to her. However, Dawn is catching up with me to some degree, and I'm getting this, don't say her age in any way, in that she's catching up with me to some degree, and today, whenever I say, Dawn, remind me, and she'll say, if I don't forget. So, in that, we all need reminders, and in fact, what I do nowadays, a lot of times, is I love these smartphones. They're a blessing and a curse. I will say to my smartphone, remind me tomorrow at 9 a.m., and Siri, I believe it's Siri, will say, okay, what do you want me to remind you of? And I will say, remind me of this, that. And sure enough, 9 o'clock the following morning, it pops up on my screen. And if I don't forget to look at my screen throughout the course of the day, then I'm reminded. We all need reminders, and reminders are indeed a part of life. For instance, as a nation, we just had Memorial Day. As a nation, we have Veterans Day. And why do we have these days? To serve as a reminder to our veterans who have or who are serving us as a country. Memorial Day, kind of the same token. We have Independence Day, the 4th of July, coming up this coming Wednesday. And we have reminders all over our lives to remind us of certain things. Even in the Lord's church, we have reminders. Today, as we assemble together as God's people, as New Testament Christians, worship Him in spirit and truth, we've been singing songs of praise to God. Now we are engaged in learning from God's inspired Word. Here in just a little part of a little while, another part of our service will be to partake of the Lord's emblems. And why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? It serves as a remembrance for us of what Jesus Christ our Lord did. This morning, as I've already mentioned in part, I believe that Peter presents some reminders for New Testament Christians. They were reminders from a contextual standpoint to the people that would have read the epistle during the first century. More specific in regard to this general epistle, those who would have been the initial recipients. And in regard to this matter, not only would they need to understand that these were reminders for them, these are also reminders for us today. And therefore, when we bring out these things that Peter is seeking to remind us of, I want us to understand that no matter what it is that we face in life that we have to be reminded of, the greatest reminders of all, those that are most important, are the biblical reminders. Why? Because they are prudent for our life in Christ. They are essential for us to be able to know and to apply to our lives so that, friends, someday we will be able to spend eternity in heaven with our God. So therefore, this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and draw from the context the reminders that Peter lays before us. There are five of them. To begin with, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we learn is that Peter reminds us by God explaining these things through divine inspiration is that we are, as Christians, to become partakers of the divine nature of God. when we think regarding this matter, I believe that it is important for us to understand to begin with what it is and what it is not that Peter is wanting us to become partakers of. Some suggest in the denominational world that to some degree, after we are in Christ for some time, and they're not specific in regard to the time frame, is that to some degree we become like God. And friends, there's no way under the sun that God expects us to become exactly like Him. He is deity. He is eternal in His existence, and there's no way in which we would ever be able to measure up to, no way that we would ever be able to become deity as what God is. So therefore, dismiss that notion and we go on then to explore possibly what is under consideration here. To become partakers of His divine nature means to become like Him in character, and that we can accomplish. The Bible identifies to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that God has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And the way in which He has accomplished this is through His divine nature and through inspiration. And therefore, what God is showing us is that we need to become holy as He is holy, and we need to take upon ourselves the type of nature that we find to be characteristic in God. And therefore, as we read and study from the Bible, and we come to a greater understanding of who God is, and the type of person, if you would, the type of figure that God represents in His eternal existence, and then we do everything that is within our power to apply these same standards to ourselves, not only then do we have a better understanding of who God is, hence we are becoming, in our character, the same type of person that God is in His nature or in His person. It doesn't make us equal with God, but rather it makes us more God-like in regard to the person that we represent here in this world. Having said all of this, Peter then goes on to show us how that we can accomplish this. God reminds us that we need to add to our faith. I remember whenever I first obeyed the gospel, I remember that I was convicted of the sermon that day, and based out of my conviction that I was in sin, that this sin had separated me from God, and that Jesus Christ is indeed the only means of redemption, I responded by stepping out of the aisle, as Paul says, out into that aisle of opportunity to put Christ on in baptism. Going back to where I was in regard to the things that I understood, that's really and truly about it. I didn't realize the significance of the inspiration of the Scripture. I did not understand fully the importance of making sure that I did everything that I could and can do even to this day to read and study the Bible on an everyday basis and to make the application to my life. I didn't realize is that God wanted me to grow as a Christian. And then the more that I studied on my own, the more that I sat in services and heard sermons preached about these matters, the more then that I realized is that I could not stay where I was when I first became a Christian. I couldn't stay as a babe in Christ. I couldn't stay with just knowing the elementary principles of the gospel. I needed to go on. I needed to mature. I needed to grow up in Christ. And that's what Peter is reminding us here in regard to this matter when he says, add to your faith. And he supplies a list of things that is essential for us to add to our faith in order for us to be partakers of the divine nature of God. If we want to be God-like, if we want to have godly characteristics in our life, we can and we must add to our faith each and every day. Also, though, God reminds us here in the context of 2 Peter chapter 1 of the tragedies of ignorance. Ignorance literally means whenever a person does know something. Ignorance has led to a lot of problems in people's lives. Whenever people do not know certain things, they tend to go off and they violate laws and there are consequences for violating the laws of the land. And the same is true whenever it comes to our relationship with God. If we live in ignorance of not knowing the will of God and not understanding the type of person that God calls us to be, if we live in ignorance, we are, as Peter defines with regard to these matters in this general epistle to the people of that day, who are like those who are blind and cannot see afar off. You know, our Lord said something with regard to the matter of people who were blind and couldn't see, spiritually that is. He says it's like the blind leading the blind, where that they both end up in a ditch. Friends, living back in Indiana, we got a lot of snow during the winter months, and during those times, as a young driver especially, I like to get out and play around in the snow, and there was so much that I was doing in ignorance, if you would, not realizing the consequences that would come about if I continued to act in that way, and time after time, in ignorance, I ended up in a ditch. And there were a lot of friends that I had who also followed my lead, or I followed their lead. It didn't change things, right? We still ended up in the ditch in our ignorance. And God is showing us is that those who are blind is that they don't have a relationship with God. And therefore, friends, it is imperative that if we want to be partakers of the divine nature, is that we are constantly doing everything that we can to grow our faith, to be deeper, and to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And not to walk in ignorance, because those things will lead us down a road of destruction in the end. God also reminds us through this general epistle of Peter's is that we are to understand concerning the brevity of life. Peter uses this in speaking to himself. He says that he has lived, and I'm going to paraphrase, in this tent. He looks to his body as a tent. And I don't know how many in here can relate with this, but I personally can, because whenever I was growing up, we did a lot of camping as a family. And we would go from one KOA campground to another KOA campground during the summer months whenever my dad would have off from work, and we would camp in a tent. And I remember whenever we first bought the tent, is that it was good. It was canvas. I think now today they make it out of this other plastic type material. And ours was canvas. And I remember that for the first year, our camping was really, really good in the fact that whenever it would rain, we would stay dry. However, as the tent grew older and the rain would come down, it didn't stay so dry. We would develop drips in the tent, and it would start dripping in. And I remember my mom and dad taking little kettles and putting out and saying, just, you know, stay away from the little drip over there. Well, before we knew it, it would come a downpour, and everything and everyone in the tent would be completely saturated. I remember one night, we were camping somewhere between Knoxville and Nashville. It might have been around the Crossville area. Interesting how sometimes in life you end up about where you've traveled throughout life anyway. But we were camping, and our tent wasn't doing so well in the rain during that stay. And it came a downpour, and water was coming into the tent, and in fact, there was a little creek to the back, and the water started to come up, and we just packed up everything and left. And I say all that to say is that Peter is saying that his body is like a tent. And he goes on to identify, he says, this tent is wearing out. And the older that I get, I can relate with that. We wear out as we go forward. And Peter says, I'm going to put off this tent. And what's he speaking about? Well, if you ask Peter, what do you mean by that? Peter says, I've lived here on this world, and still at the same time, I know that life is brief. It's going to come to an end. Whenever it does, whenever I put off this tent, whenever I'm no longer here in this world, then I will stand accountable to God in the end. You see, Peter in this context not only encourages us, reminds us of the importance of becoming partakers of the divine nature, And the way that we accomplish this is to add to our faith and to not walk in ignorance, but also to think with reality into the fact that it doesn't matter where you are in life. Now, you may be a best health. You still may not have tomorrow. My dad called me up last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather. And Dawn and I, whenever we were over in the Knoxville area, Gatlinburg area this last week, I was telling the kids about a person that I used to work with, Clinton Crowder. He was an assistant foreman of mine. Really, really good guy. And he and his wife sold everything that they had, and of all things, they went over to the Knoxville area and they bought a KOA campground. His wife's name was Helen. And I thought, well, did we camp there as a kid? Well, Mom and Dad, whenever they would come down as we were going through the school of preaching, they would pull their camper down and they would stay at that KOA campground. The first time they were there, we didn't realize that that's where Clinton and Helen had bought. And they went to check in, and they knew them. Mom and Dad, in fact, had gone to school with them. And called us up and said, hey, the campground we're staying in, Clinton and Helen, they own that. So we had a good old time. And I was telling this story to the kids last week, and I said, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen Clinton. I knew that Helen had passed away. And we had just talked about this last week, and Dad calls me up and he says, do you remember Clinton Crowder? I said, I do. And he says, he died this morning. And I thought, wow, that's weird. We were just talking about him. He was up in his 70s. Dad said, also, do you remember Alicia Jones? He first said, Lisa Jones. And I'm like, Lisa Jones? He said, she was in band with you guys. And I'm like, I don't remember Alicia Jones. And Trent was with us. And I asked Trent, I said, and he said, Randy Hamm, that's a guy from back home. He's on the radio and all this. School with my sister. He says, well, Randy had it on Facebook. And I'm like, well, I didn't see that. And Trent says, yeah, he said, I saw something like that. So I got on the Facebook and I went over to Randy's page and I looked at it. And sure enough, not Lisa, Alicia Jones. I'm like, I know Alicia Jones. She was in my sister's class. She dated my cousin. She's only a little over a year older than I am. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, no matter where we are in life. And therefore, Peter reminds us through inspiration to stand firm in the Lord. Friends, there's no need to pull back from God. There's no reason at all to walk away from God. There's nothing acceptable in the sight of God where we say, you know, I've just had too much. Where, you know, I just get worn out and I need to take a little time for myself. Because whenever we do, we give way for the devil to come in and to take over and to take us away from God. Therefore, God says, stand firm in the Lord always. These are things that in reality we know, but at the same time, they serve as reminders for us because we need to be reminded of the importance of these matters from time to time in order for us to rekindle that fire, to keep on keeping on in the Lord. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want you to realize in the greatest way possible the sacrifice that has been made by God for your salvation through the shedding of Jesus' blood at Calvary's cross. And not only does God show us that Christ died for our sins, He identifies that it's through Jesus that we are able to have our sins forgiven. And the way that this is accomplished is that we are to confess Christ as the Son of the living God, and in that confession then we submit ourselves in obedience to Christ in baptism. And it's in our obedience to Christ in the water, to be buried with Christ in that water, that we are raised, forgiven, a new creation. God forgives us in that obedience. Now He adds us Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, to the body of Christ. And now we are able to live hope and anticipation in the return of our Lord and Savior someday. But you know, sometimes, as Christians, we can walk away from God. We can put God second in our lives versus placing Him first. And as a result of that, hence we need to be restored. And therefore, this morning, if you need to be restored, I want to remind you of that way in which you can do this. And that is to respond this morning. We will pray with you and for you. And knowing that in your repentance that God will forgive you, and you will now be able to be seen as a faithful Christian once again. So this morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come.